The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day, First Take on a Feel Good Friday. So you know that means the one and only Tim Tebow. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Molly. How are you doing?
I am excellent. It is great to see you, sir, getting a set as we head into an exciting football weekend. Stephen A. Smith, of course.
So in other
words, how was the birthday?
The birthday was lovely. Thank y'all for the birthday wishes. I just want to figure out how is it that Stephen A. Smith is here, but when it's Tim Tebow, it's the one and only Tim Tebow. I mean, what's up with that, Molly? It's the one and only Tim Tebow, but it's just Stephen A. Smith here. Okay. All right. I see how this is going already, but it's all right.
Let's know what? This is First Take, and I can't win, but I accept it. Ryan
but you also never lose, Molly. You also never
lose.
That's
what I'm saying. She never loses. Never loses.
There we go.
That's something.
There we go. There's enough love for everybody. Mm-hmm. All right. TB12, guys, you know what it is. In action last night, Tampa Bay, with a decimated secondary, traveled north to your old stomping ground, Stephen A. Philly, who gave them a fight for sure. The Bucs survived a late Eagles comeback attempt, capping off a dominant performance, which Teflon Tom completed 81% of his passes. What bad thumb. En route to a 28-22 win, Brady had two touchdown passes, and Leonard Fournette added two more as Tampa solidifies its first-place position in the NFC South. Here's the go.
It's tough to win on the road, and obviously, we didn't play our best, so we got to get back to work. We got a good little break here, use it, and then get back to work, see if we can get better.
Tim, you are up first. Are the Bucs the best team in football?
Yes. I think when you look at them from top to bottom, they have very few weaknesses. Right now, there's one weakness you could look at, and that's because of injury, not because of talent. That would be their secondary. Where else are you going to find a weakness on this team? Even other really good teams, possibly great teams, there are weaknesses. But this Bucs team, there are no weaknesses. There is playmakers. They know how to win the big games. They have a great pass rush. They can run the football. Leonard Fournette is playing the best of his entire career. And then the playmakers outside. It is a joke. Mike Evans, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown looks better than he has in the last few years. I mean, he's not really getting covered. And then when you talk about their tight ends, they have three versatile tight ends. OJ Howard now being healthy. I mean, it's a joke. The weapons they have, I think you have to look at them as the best team in football.
I don't agree with you, Tim Tebow. I mean, listen, we're starting off the show on the right foot because I completely disagree with you. I don't think we have to do that at all because of the very reason you brought up. You brought up their secondary. Last time I checked, that's a big issue, particularly when you look at the NFC. You look at Green Bay. You look at Dallas. You look at Los Angeles. You look at the Arizona Cardinals. And if you've got your secondary compromised in any way, it can cost you, particularly when you're trying to repeat as champions. Now let's look at the Arizona Cardinals, because as far as I'm concerned, that is the reason I don't think it's fair, because I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals right now as the best team, definitely in the NFC, arguably in the National Football League. I got a quarterback in Kyler Murray that's completed 75% of his passes. He's a miniature dynamo. If it was not for Lamar Jackson, we'd be talking about him being arguably the best playmaker in the game because of his ability to move his feet and run that football. Then you've got Chase Edmonds and you got James Conner. That's more than serviceable in terms of your backfield and what you've got coming out of there. And then we get to the wideouts here. We're looking at a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who's arguably the best wide receiver in football. We're looking at the resurrection of an A.J. Green. We're looking at a Christian Kirk. We're even looking at a Rondale Moore. And I'm looking at their weapons right now. And then I go to the defensive side of the ball, and I see them being able to get to the quarterback. They've got 12 sacks this year. I'm also looking at a top 8-ranked defense in the National Football League. Now, they struggle against the run. That is fair. They rank like 29th or whatever. But their yards against the pass, I'm talking about yards allowed. I'm talking about points allowed. The Arizona Cardinals, there's a reason that they stand alone as the undefeated team in the National Football League. They are unblemished. They've beaten Tennessee. They've beaten the Los Angeles Rams. They've beaten the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sorry. I'm going to roll with Arizona right now.
No, and those are a lot of really good points, Stephen, eh? This is a good Arizona Cardinals football team. But when you get to the playoffs, are you telling me that on a neutral field right now, you're going to take the Cardinals in a playoff game over all of these weapons, Bruce Arians, and most importantly, Tom Brady?
No.
I don't believe that you would say that. No, I don't believe you would say that.
And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you watch the show on Tuesday, the list is fluid.
It's
fluid,
okay?
This fluidity here, it moves. What we're talking about is right now, presently as things stand, as things stand right now, with both teams playing the way that they're playing, I don't see how anybody can look at Arizona as being inferior to anybody.
It's
fluid.
We all know October, nobody will remember. To be honest, they're not even going to remember November. But at the end of the year, who's going to be the best team? And when you look at this Bucs team and you say, okay, their weakness is in the secondary, but when everybody's healthy, will that be a weakness? I don't think so. That's why, as a whole, this Bucs team, when healthy, is the best team in football. And I think leading into January and maybe February, I think they'll be the best team.
Well, see, my point is that we don't know about that. We saw Richard Sherman that you're straight off the couch. You're going to throw him in there over a week ago or so. Of course, he was going to come down with a hamstring injury last night, which is kind of sad. I'm wishing him nothing but the best. But then you've got Bunting and others who have been injured. We don't know when they'll come back. We don't know how healthy they are once they come back. And we also know that there's never been a reason to question Tampa Bay's offense. Let's also talk about Antonio Brown, that stud that he is. You know, he's being treated like he's some third receiver. This is a guy that had issues off the field. On the field, he has always been considered elite. Yeah. And so when you look at him right now, as great as Mike Evans is and Chris Godwin is, they were never Antonio Brown. So while you've got defenses treating him like he's some third option is beyond me. But ultimately, as the season progresses, and you're going
aren't
to get better competition.
Aren't you making my point, though?
Exactly.
Antonio Brown is your third receiver.
Swayed you completely. You want to say the Tampa Bay Bucs.
No.
You can change your mind.
Remember.
It's fine. Stephen A., it's not a big deal.
It's cool.
You can just come on, man.
May I speak, ladies and gentlemen? May I speak?
Yes.
At the beginning of the season, let's be clear. I had Tampa Bay repeating. But then the season takes place. And based on what I'm witnessing, what I'm saying is, I'm standing here right now and telling you that Arizona looks like a better team all around, balance-wise, on both sides of the ball than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, can that change in December? Sure, it could.
Okay.
But when it changes, call me.
Okay.
Right now, the Arizona Cardinals are the better team.
But in
hold on, Stephen A.,
name
drop. I got your number. I'm calling you right now, okay? Answer.
What's up?
All right, let's move on here, guys. The Eagles offense struggled in their loss to the Bucs on Thursday night, particularly in the first half. After marching down the field on a 75-yard touchdown drive on their opening possession, they punted on four of their final five drives of the half. The lone drive that didn't result in a punt was a Jalen Hurts interception. Hurts wasn't efficient, 12 of 26, 115 yards, one TD and one pick. The Eagles put up 213 yards of total offense. Some of that blame has to be on the coach, Nick Sirianni, as well. Let's hear from the coach and the quarterback.
We were bad in the first half, and I put that on me first. There's no doubt our offense needs to get better and to give our team a chance to win.
I haven't executed well enough to win, clearly, because the ball touches my hands every play. And I enjoy that. And I like that. I'm not doing enough right now to win. I'm not doing enough to start fast. I have to be better.
You know, Tim, obviously you played the quarterback position, so you know what it takes. But also, when we talk about the draft, we talk a lot about a guy's success is dependent on their situation. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, do you think Jalen Hurts can succeed on the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think he can succeed. Can they be a great offense? Can he be an elite signal caller? I don't know. I would have question marks with that. Can he succeed to win games to possibly get them to a playoff berth? I think he has enough talent to do that. I don't think this is really a talent issue with Jalen. I think it's a little bit of consistency, and then I think he's too cautious. I think he has to let it rip. Even if you go back to Alabama, he was so successful. Only lost a couple of games in his entire career. But the one thing when you watched him, he was a little bit hesitant because he trusted his athleticism more than he trusted his eyes. And as a quarterback, you have to anticipate it, you have to see it, and you have to let it rip. And I saw multiple times last night him just hanging on to it just a little bit too long. And then, okay, if it's not there, okay, I can go make a play. Not always in the NFL. You saw some of the defensive ends that were just as fast as him last night. I think he has to anticipate more. He has to let it rip. And I'm not sure this late in his career if that's something that you can necessarily teach. That's what worries me the most about Jalen.
Which is exactly why I'm not sold on him. For some of the reasons that you just highlighted. Let's just call it what it is, okay? This dude is a tremendous, tremendous athlete. I think he's a winner. Put him in a close situation. He'll find a way to get it done. His athleticism is big time. His guts is big time. He's not scared. He might be a bit hesitant, as you said, but that's when it comes to throwing the football. He ain't hesitant to run with the football. He ain't hesitant to trying to make plays. He's hesitant when it comes with throwing the football. What's the problem? You're the quarterback. That's what the problem is. You can't be hesitant throwing the football. Your instinct first should be to throw and then to run. It's the opposite with him. And that's the problem with Jalen Hurts. And then we got to take into consideration what we're looking at when we look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind y'all about something. Miles Sanders can run the football. He's not a scrub. This brother can play. Why in God's name is Sirianni not running the football more, and you got Philadelphia Eagles fans booing him because you're not calling more running plays for your offense? They absolutely get on them because they know that city knows their football. I would know. I worked there for 17 years. But then let's go to the wide receiver spot. You got this cat, Quez Watkins. You got Devontae Smith. We know what a stud he was at Alabama last year, and we know how special he is as a talent. You've got dual tight ends in Goddard and Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. They're both there. How many teams in the National Football League have that many weapons on the offensive side of the ball? So when we look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, and there are question marks about him, and it's not to say he's not a finished product, Tim. I know that the future is bright because I've seen him do enough on the NFL level where I think there's tremendous promise there, and he's going to be really, really good down the line. I just don't believe he's there yet. And when you're in the NFC East, all right, with the Washington football team and the New York Giants, and here you are struggling right now, completing 62% of your passes, okay, and really not throwing the football with the level of accuracy we would hope. The bottom line is this is the expectation of him coming into the National Football League. So there's no reason to be disappointed. It's just that I think he'll be fine, but he's not there yet. The jury's still out.
Steven, I totally agree, but I also think this is on Nick Sirianni and their entire offensive coaching staff as well to be able to put him in a position where you aren't necessarily throwing it down the field quite as much, but you're being able to get out quick screens and spread it a little bit more horizontally. I agree. Get Miles Sanders the ball going early, but also let Jalen be someone that can be a disguise for the defense, right? If he's coming out threatening run, you should be able to open some stuff up with Miles Sanders, and so I would love to see I love their first game plan of the year against the Falcons. I mean, that game plan, the Falcons were playing so much man post-high defense, and they were killing them, right? So a lot of teams have changed from that a little bit, and they're playing a little bit more hesitant, holding back on the sides, making it give reads. And last night, the Bucs were playing defensive end was crashing, linebackers coming around, totally took away the zone read. Give them some more options. You know, there's so many different options with the read options. Mm-hmm. Change it up a little bit so you give him more chances to be successful with his legs, which is going to give him confidence with his arm.
Absolutely. And 4 out of 5 of his starting offensive linemen were out. So obviously
that doesn't help.
Fair.
That's fair.
And his defense as well.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, let's transition here. So Odell Beckham Jr. has 9 catches and 124 yards on the season. No TDs, not even last week when the Browns put up 42. Here's Stephen A. on this subject yesterday. Take a listen.
He got to get the hell up out of Cleveland. I am making the accusation that it is intentional why that brother hasn't been found, because I know you watch the tapes, Dan, and you know that brother's been open. And there ain't no excuses for him not to get the ball more than we've seen him get the ball over these last 3 games.
Okay. Before we start, I just want to say Odell has played in 73% of his games since he joined the NFL. So he's essentially missed 2 full seasons due to injury. Tim, I'll start with you. Is Baker sabotaging Odell Beckham's career?
I mean, those are some big accusations. And to say that their relationship, whatever's going on, and honestly, I have no idea, but to say that Baker is sabotaging someone, I mean, unless we have just really good information, I think that's hard to say. You know, it's not something that I would believe. I think, you know, Baker is someone that I think he desperately wants to win. And I think that about, you know, Odell as well. Both of them are competitive guys, and could their tempers and egos get in the way a little bit of two guys that have always been very successful? Possibly, but it's hard for me to believe that Baker is deciding, hey, I'm going to go to somebody else that's not as good because I don't want this guy to catch more passes. That's hard to believe. But I do think with the touchdowns, a lot of people bring that up with Baker and I guess now with Odell. But this is a team, when you get inside the 10, they're running it, and they're running it in most of the time. So I think you also got to understand the context of this offense is when you get into the red zone, most of the time they're scoring, but they're scoring with really, really good running backs and a really good offensive line. So I think that's something that we got to also take into context. But, man, those are some really big accusations against Baker. And every time I've been around him, he's been someone that's so competitive that he wants to win. And I don't think he would let ego get in the way of winning.
I respectfully disagree, but I emphasize the word respectfully because I understand exactly where you're coming from. Let me explain exactly what I mean when I say what I said. Baker Mayfield wants to win. I'm not questioning that at all. But in my years of covering sports, you do run across people, Tim, unfortunately, that want to win their way, not just win, period. And that's what I am saying. I'm not in any way implying that Baker Mayfield doesn't care about winning and, you know what, the hell with Odell Beckham Jr. I'm saying I'm watching a guy in Baker Mayfield that's completing nearly 67% of his passes. This Cleveland Browns team has taken a step forward with him as their quarterback. We have raved about his maturation. We have raved about his development. But somehow, some way, the lone question mark, or I shouldn't say the lone question mark, the most prevalent question mark about him is his relationship with the with Odell Beckham Jr. Keyshawn Johnson was talking about it this morning on his radio show. It was like, wait a minute here. He's open. And you're not even looking in his direction. You listen to people covering the Cleveland Browns, along with information emanating out of their camp, Tim, and folks are talking about how Odell Beckham Jr. is in practice and ain't getting balls thrown to him nearly as much as he should. The kind of things that you don't usually hear about when you have an elite talent at the wideout spot on the same squad as a quarterback. You're hearing with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. And the question of that would be why. We know they got a big-time running game with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. We know when Jarvis Landry was there with Odell Beckham Jr., with Njoku and those boys, there were a lot of options to go to. But with Jarvis Landry having been out, with Odell Beckham Jr. back, healthy and ready to roll, and you're not finding him. And in a game where you score 42 points, you target this man three times. Excuse me, something is very, very fishy about that. That is not right. Something's wrong with that. When you score 42 points and you got a weapon like Odell Beckham Jr. and literally you're targeted three times and you get two receptions for 20 yards. And then you heard the sound from Odell Beckham Jr. I want the ball. I want the ball. I'm not getting the ball. Everybody's allowed to say 1 + 1 = 2. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, Steven, I totally agree with the thought of you have Odell Beckham, who is a special talent. You want to be able to get that guy the ball, right? So, let's just go to something that is more concrete. And that's what I would say to Baker, right? What I would say to Baker is, hey, listen, if y'all do have some argument, if you're butting heads, Baker, when you get to the playoffs, and you probably will, you might be able to have even success in the playoffs. But to win a Super Bowl, it will probably take a guy like Odell to be able to make a few plays. And I think about the Kansas City Chiefs a couple years ago. If you don't have Tyreek, you're probably going to be really good. But if you don't have Tyreek Hill against the 49ers in the Super Bowl, you probably don't win. Why? Because he's an elite game changer. The same way for the Browns. You'll probably be successful. But if you don't have that dude that on a 3rd and 10, on a 4th down in the red zone can somehow make a play because he is a physical freak, you probably won't win the Super Bowl. And ultimately, that's the goal. And so what I would say to Baker is, hey, man, I know you got swag. I know you got an ego. It's one of the things I like about him. I've liked since Oklahoma is that he had something that was that it factor about him. Hey, lower that for a minute. boost up your teammate, because ultimately it's going to be better for all of you, right? Mm-hmm. Go to him, whatever it takes. I don't care if you got to apologize. I don't care if you got to throw it to him when he's double covered. Get him involved, because you're going to need him in December and January, and maybe if it goes well in February. Humble yourself, dude, because ultimately when you do, everyone's going to be risen up. And that's what I would say to him is, dude, you know, listen, it's for the betterment of the team. But if he does that and you can get the buy-in of Odell, I mean, this team has so much talent. I mean, maybe more than even the Bucks when you look at it from their defensive line, their receivers, their tight ends, their backs, all over the field. This is a great football team that has a chance of doing something really special. But it's not going to happen if two of your best players are butting heads. And so if I'm Baker, I say, hey, man, OBJ, you're our dude, right? I'm going to you this week. I'm going to get it to you. I want to be on the same page. I'm lifting you up.
There we go.
Absolutely. Everyone eats. Everyone wins. They got a tough one this weekend. Real quick, guys, one word. That's all we have time for. Stephen A., who's winning, Browns or Cardinals?
Cardinals.
Tim?
Browns.
Okay. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Lamar Jackson crushed Monday night, leading his Ravens back from a 19-point deficit, setting multiple NFL records, including completing 85% of his passes while throwing for over 400 yards. He put up 4 TDs, no interceptions, and a win over the Colts. That was in overtime. This week, tough AFC test in Baltimore when the LA Chargers come to town. Tim, you are up first, sir. How far can Lamar take the Ravens this year?
Tim? Sorry, you said... How far? Yep. I think the Ravens are a very talented, very good team. And I think Lamar has a unique ability to be special, especially when he's down. I think he's got a unique it factor. But I think when you look at the whole of this season so far, you have a team that's 4-1 that could also pretty easily be 1-4. And so I look at that and say, well, on one hand, they're fantastic in the fourth quarter in the last few minutes of the game. But also, you've had some really special breaks of the Chiefs fumbling, of the most insane field goal of all time, and then an incredible comeback. So you look at that as a positive, but you also have to say they put themselves in positions that are... You just can't count on winning that way all of the time. And so when I look at him, I say, hey, you know what? They got a special it factor. But there's still a question mark for me of, can this team dominate? Can they play every single week where they're not counting on those breaks? Because I just don't think you can be a team that can be a number one seed and think you're going to get these breaks every single week. So I think they're a good team. I think Lamar is crazy special. I love him. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the NFL. But I think they've also got a lot of breaks so far this season.
Well, listen, breaks come with it when you're trying to go for a Super Bowl. Last time I checked, there's a few times the Super Bowl champions have been lucky en route to capturing the crown, Tim Tebow. I mean, you should know about it when you were playing in the SEC and you were going against Alabama, okay? I mean, these things happen. Sometimes luck goes your way. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this, sir. Just like you said, they could easily be 1-4, whatever. I can make an argument, Tim Tebow, they could easily be 5-0. They could have won that Monday Night Football game in the season opener against Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Okay, they could have won it. So they could easily be 5-0. Number two, they have the most electrifying running back at the quarterback position that the NFL has ever seen, as far as I'm concerned. And I go back to, I mean, listen, man, I used to watch Fran Tarkenton scramble around for the Minnesota Vikings back in the day, okay? And we saw the Randall Cunninghams of the World come later and others. And now we see the Kyler Murrays and other folks, and Aaron Rodgers can even run a little bit with the football when he wants to. So can Patrick Mahomes and others. We ain't seen some dude like Lamar Jackson that's approaching his third consecutive 1,000-yard rushing season. And then when we look at their receivers, we look at a Hollywood Brown. We look at a Mark Andrews as your tight end. We look at Sammy Watkins, who you picked up. Bateman ain't even there right now. So I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens. Do I have questions about their pass defense? Yes. They're one of the worst pass defenses in the National Football League. And they definitely give up a bunch of yards. They bend a lot, even though they don't always break. I get that. But when we ask the question, how far can Lamar take them? I think Lamar can force offenses to get a bit tight, because he's so electrifying with what he does that pressurizes opposing offenses to do more than they may be capable of doing at a particular moment in time, and that could assist them folding too. I'm not picking them to win the Super Bowl. I'm not even picking them to get to the Super Bowl. But when we talk about can he carry the Ravens there, I think we all know he's capable of that, Tim Tebow.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But how much are you going to put on him? Like, how tight of a back brace does he have to have? You know, like, I just think when you ask him to do so much, I think it's going to be hard. I think you have a chance of injury. I think you have a chance of it being even a longer season of getting worn down. I don't like putting it all on Lamar. I think he can handle it for a while, but then this is a very violent, tough league. Even though they're making it easier on quarterbacks and they're making it easier on tough hitters, and you know they're not getting blasted as much, but man, that's a lot to put on him when he's having to run and throw it that much. And you know, I think he's got to get help from the rest of his team. I think they have to run the ball without him better. I think their defense has to come up with more stops earlier in games, and that's where the question marks are for me, not on Lamar Jackson. And by the way, I would love sometime for you to really fill us in on Fran Tarkenton, and you know, we watch the black and white, but maybe you can put it in color for us for the next generation.
Yeah, story time.
Hey, listen, that's right. I can do that because
mystery.
Listen, I loved my steel curtain. Listen, I have to hold on to those days. Those were the days when the steel curtain existed, okay? Yeah. When they had a running back in Franco Harris and Swan and Stallworth as receivers and a defense led by me, Joe Green, and Elsie Greenwood. You damn right I'm going to remember those days, yeah. Because that's when the Steelers were the steel curtain, okay? That's what it was about. I got to hold on to that time, Tim. I got to hold on to it.
Tim, isn't it so hard to believe that, you know, he was alive then to witness that, because he looks so young.
You know,
amazing.
Molly, it truly is incredible. It truly is incredible.
You know, I'm just saying.
I mean, he gets younger, better looking, richer every day.
I know she's, you know, I hope
We know he gets richer.
Oh, y'all, you're wanting to talk. Let me tell you something. Look at him in the sunshine again, and you don't even stop. Do y'all see the tan on Molly? Somebody loving Hollywood. Somebody, it ain't me.
I have to say, I am happy to be out here in California. I took one for the team, you know, to be here with you so we could be in studio together for First Take.
That tan is doing something. I'll tell you that much.
Hey, Stephen, do you think I could have your jacket so I can auction it off for charity? I think I could make a lot.
This guy's crazy. Let's go to break.
We have another topic.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go.
All right. It's been two straight wins for the Bears as Justin Fields starts to turn the season around in Chicago. Two straight games with completion percentage of 60% or higher, but the question remains, who deserves the credit for Fields' success? Mr. Tebow, you take this first, please.
I think absolutely Justin Fields deserves a lot of credit, but I also think Matt Nagy deserves some credit. And I remember, listen, I don't watch TV and watch a lot of what people say, but the few things that I heard, everyone was saying after the first few weeks, he's got to get fired now. Mm-hmm. Well, they're 3-2. And their game plans the last few weeks have been a lot better. I thought they put Justin in some good situations. They didn't ask too much of him. Like, if we're going to criticize someone so much for when it doesn't go well, then on the other side, when it does, I think you have to get praise. And I think Matt Nagy deserves some praise. He hasn't asked too much of him. He's put him in some pretty good situations, and they're 3-2. And that's with their schedule, that's a pretty good place to be when you're playing a rookie quarterback, when you're figuring out a lot of different things offensively. I think he deserves some credit.
Oh, come on. Look, I'm not giving Matt Nagy that much credit. I'm going to tell you who I'm going to give the credit to. You know who I'm going to give the most, other than Justin Fields, because obviously being a rookie and going out there and doing that, I give him a lot of credit. You know who else I'm going to give credit to, Tim Tebow? I'm going to give credit to the schedule makers. That's what I'm going to give it to. Aww. First of all, you're going up against – listen, when the season started, what did I say, Molly? Don't put Justin Fields in there until you're going up against Detroit. And I understand that Campbell's got them playing hard, and I give the Detroit Lions a lot of credit. They've been playing really hard and competitive football. They've caught some bad breaks or whatever, but I really like the effort that I'm seeing from them and how hard they fought, and I think that Campbell deserves a lot of credit for how he's got those guys fighting. But nevertheless, they ain't there yet, okay? So you go against the Detroit Lions. And then, obviously, with everything that's happened with John Gruden, they showed up last weekend knowing that that was on their minds. Those guys were not focused and locked in on playing football with that big of a distraction hovering over their franchise and John Gruden still coaching on the sidelines at that particular moment in time. I think that was a great assist to the Chicago Bears this past Sunday. I think if it wasn't for that, they probably would have beat the Chicago Bears, to be quite honest with you. And that's something, not just me, but you got all of these NFL aficionados all over the place, Tim, talking about Raiders weren't themselves. Look at them. They clearly had this stuff on their mind. It was a huge distraction. They weren't there. And in a game of football, you got to be all in each and every Sunday to have a shot. You can't afford to take days off.
Maybe it was a distraction. Sorry, Molly. Maybe it was a distraction.
Go ahead.
Maybe it was a distraction, but then you also have to look at the rest of the leaders on the team and saying, hey, this is when they have to step up. This is a Derek Carr moment. This is all those guys that have to step up. But we were just talking about the Ravens. The Ravens should have lost to Detroit. They won it on one of the greatest field goals of all time. Okay. And they lost to the Raiders. So if you're going to give the Ravens that much credit, why do you not give the Bears that much credit? Right? When the Bears beat both of those teams, but the Ravens lost to one of them and should have lost to both of them.
But because
that's it doesn't add up.
But listen, what I'm saying to you, I get where you're coming from. My point to you is that it's all about time. And when you look at what transpired, first of all, you got a season opener. Season opener with limited preseason action, limited practice time, all of that other stuff. So, people, listen, you're the football player. Y'all are the football players, okay? I'm just telling y'all
Hold on.
Okay, tell me this stuff.
Time out, okay? Because I understand the significance of timing in life. I'm with you and all that. But we have had millions of people talk about this Justin Fields conversation, and everybody has knocked Matt Nagy and said Matt Nagy needs to go. He needs to be fired. And Tim is giving him credit, and you're just glossing over that.
Well, first of all, Matt Nagy has created a lot of question marks over his career. So 2 games does not a career make. What I have said about Nagy was this. Let's see what you do throughout the season. Let's see, the development of Justin Fields is everything because his career is on the line in terms of as a head coach, because he'll be in football for a long time. But his career as a head coach is on the line in terms of how this kid develops. Let's see what happens. And I think the first 2 weeks or so, I mean, I think they've lucked up.
I didn't say this was a career maker, right? Everybody needs to totally change the way we view Matt Nagy. I'm just saying, hey, it's 2 pretty good games in a row, you know, where they were able to have pretty good game plans. I thought they controlled Justin Fields really well. They didn't put him in tough situations. And so, hey, last 2 weeks, let's give him credit. Good job. Okay. Now continue to watch what happens the rest of the season. I agree with you. It doesn't necessarily change my macro picture of him. Mm-hmm. But the last few weeks, you say, you know what? I'm going to give him credit. Good game plans.
Yeah.
You know, and you were successful in it.
So what Tim Tebow has admitted, Tim Tebow said 2 things that's very, very important. He said one thing and he implied another.
What?
He mentioned macro.
Yeah.
And that implies fluidity. And I think that's important. It's fluid. You know, how we feel about Matt Nagy today, we might not feel that way 2 weeks from now. I get where Tim is coming from. I can roll with that. Fluid. It's all fluid.
Or consistency, that it always
it's
comes
fluid.
Back to Stephen A.
It does.
Death, taxes, and Stephen A's agenda, always.
Yeah.
Can they make the playoffs? Yes or no? One word.
Chicago?
Yeah.
No.
Tim?
Too hard. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
So Alabama lost to A&M, their first L of the season, on a last-second field goal. Bama dropped in the poll from 1-5. Stephen A., you are so confident, though.
I'm not worried about Georgia. Georgia's defense is legit. I get that. They are elite. Their offense, that is an entirely different matter altogether, Tim Tebow. I'm not concerned about the Bulldogs. Georgia, I understand, is elite in that regard. But against everyone but the Tide, they are number 2 for a reason. Do you want to say it with me? Roll Tide. Sigh. You know, listen. Tim Tebow knows this. Sam Acho knows this. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, this is just a bump in the road.
Oh,
that's
fluid.
All. It's a bump in the road. You know, sometimes a touch of adversity needs to come before you sit up there and you rise above the adversity and take over again. What you did was you woke up a
now
giant.
Now that's a
you,
new
you
one.
You woke up a giant. That's what you did. Okay, listen. Texas A&M didn't look too good. Came in there with a 2-game losing streak. I saw Arkansas bounce them around in Big D and Jerry World,
okay? Stay focused.
I saw all of that, all right? Bottom line is Alabama will be back. And remember, I was talking about them against Georgia, and I still stand by that. Ain't no Stetson Bennett gonna knock out Alabama. It ain't gonna happen. Y'all can sit up there and talk. Listen, I know y'all playing that sound. Y'all got me today. But what happened to last week when Tim Tebow was talking about how Ole Miss was gonna do something against Alabama? And Lane Kiffin is sitting up there talking, get your popcorn ready and all of this. How dare he? The disrespect. And Nick Saban just said, how dare you speak about me so disrespectfully? Mind your manners. And Lane Kiffin had to fall back.
Wait, which game are we talking about?
All I'm saying is this. Last week, you're going up against an unranked team. Oh. They slept on them. That's a lesson to be learned.
Okay.
And they will learn it.
You know what I'm going to do?
And they will learn it.
Sam Acho, great to have you with us, and Tim Tebow. You know, Stephen A., when I struggle on a show or we have a bad show, things are messed up or whatever it is, in the post-show call, I'm just going to remind everybody, this is great. This is great for us. It builds resilience. Stephen A. embraces a bad rating or mistakes, and he's not going to get on any of us. Mm-mm. Absolutely. Right, Stephen A.? Because it builds character.
It does build character. It does build character.
I love this new Stephen A.
But part of it is getting on you to remind you that it builds character.
Okay?
Okay. Not standing still. Not accepting just being good, Tim.
Okay.
Sam. It's accepting. It's accepting excellence and nothing
Tim
less.
Tim and Sam, it's a learning lesson. It's just a learning lesson. Much ado about nothing. Do you guys have anything you want to add?
Go ahead, Sam.
I just love this side of Stephen A., right? I love the side of Stephen A. that admits when he's wrong, the side of Stephen A. that tries to say it's a learning lesson and all these things. This is beautiful, Stephen A. I get it. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to take a lesson and learn. Like Alabama. Well, Alabama had a tough loss.
He didn't say he was wrong, though. I don't think we heard that.
But he implied, like he said with you, he implied that he's wrong. If we look at the macro, the implications set forth say that I was wrong. He'd have to say it, but the implications are very clear and obvious. You were wrong, Stephen A., and we appreciate it, right? That's true leadership. True leadership admits mistakes and says, I'm sorry. They wear gator ties. That is true leadership at its finest.
Oh, they wear gator ties.
Sam, I hear you. I appreciate it, but I don't know if he admitted it. I don't think he apologized. Like, he wore a gator tie because he would have been shamed out of this world. Like, come on. Because he's honorable. But, you know what, admitting that you made a mistake, that's totally different.
So this
is a great opportunity.
This is a great opportunity, Stephen A. Great opportunity for you to finally admit that you were wrong.
A. Great platform.
I made a mistake. Ooh. I thought that Alabama, you understand, because of the great Nick Saban, would never take anybody for granted. And then I watched that daggone defense give up 41 points and just ignored 140-plus yards, you know, from Brian Robinson, and ignored Jameson Williams and his all-out game, and just took it for granted. Yep. And I am sure that Nick Saban will correct the error of their ways. Yep. I am sure this team will rise up to get Alabama out of the top five.
Right.
Just drop them like
on.
That.
You know what I think Nick Saban's going to say? It's a learning lesson.
You know what I think?
Builds resiliency.
You know what I think? Nick Saban, I think they need another speech from your boy. That's what I think.
There's the guy.
Are you talking about when, like, A-Rod went to speak to them, or are they going to, like, replay Kobe's speech to them or one of those, you know?
Ask them what the greatest speech they ever heard was. Ask them. Ask Paul Feinbaum. Ask them, okay? They'll tell you this. And, oh, by the way, Tim Tebow, maybe if Florida had gotten a speech from me, they would have beat Kentucky. Maybe that would have happened. How about that?
First of all, let's get back to this game, okay? The one thing that you said about Alabama that is true, I believe, is that you woke a sleeping giant. And I think you are going to have a ticked off team that to have them like where they're ranked, it's ridiculous. I mean, let's be honest. Alabama is still probably the best team in college football. They lost on the road in a crazy atmosphere, maybe one of the best, if not the best atmospheres in college football that was rocking, and an A&M team that for an entire year was focused on this game. We could tell because they definitely weren't focused on the two before that. So A&M played completely different than they had all year. Jimbo Fisher, dial it up. Zach Calzada was not the same guy as the 2 weeks before. And this defense, Mike Elko, give him a lot of credit. They were dialing everything. They had been preparing for this game for an entire year, and Alabama made too many mistakes. A kickoff return for a touchdown, fumbling it on a short yardage play, throwing interceptions at the goal line. You still look at this and you say, Alabama's the better team, and I still look at it compared to everybody else in the country and still think they're a better team.
Right, but it's not always about who you say is a better team. It's about the College Football Playoff Selection Committee picking the top four. And right now, there are four teams in front of Alabama that have an opportunity to stay in front of Alabama for two reasons. Number one, you look at Georgia. Georgia is a dominant football team. And if Georgia goes and beats Alabama in SEC championship, they are the number one team. Number two, you go to Iowa. Well, hold on. You go to Iowa. Iowa is on a tear right now, undefeated, playing dominant defense, 16 interceptions. Then you go to an undefeated Cincinnati team who right now is ranked ahead of Alabama. And they have another test in November against a top 25 SMU team. So that's three teams. Then whether it's going to be Oklahoma or maybe it's going to be Ohio State, one of those teams that can go out and stay in front of Alabama. So that's number one. And then number two, right? Ohio State is behind them right now. I get it. But Ohio State, in a lot of people's eyes, is a better team than those teams, some of those teams in the top four. But then number two, Alabama's loss, like you got that one loss to an unranked A&M team. And then let's say you do go and beat Georgia, you will have a better chance. But that's not a foregone conclusion. You talk about Georgia's offense being questionable. Hold on. Georgia's offense. Hold on. Tim Tebow, you're looking at history right now. History speaking, you're throwing them. Go ahead and throw that rock. Historically speaking, Alabama has consistently beaten Georgia when it counts. But this is different. This Georgia team is different with their backup quarterback,
Tim.
Stetson Bennett, they're over here putting up 60 points. Imagine if JT Daniels gets healthy. They got JT Daniels there for a reason, number one. Number two, the defense is the best we've seen since the 1930s. And Alabama has question marks on defense. And so from an Alabama team, you think I'm making this stuff up? We watched the A&M tape. We watched the Florida tape, a game that Alabama looked very suspect.
Let Tim get at you,
Sam. So from an Alabama team that is not playing well, they will be on a tear. They will win this next week against Mississippi State. When it comes to making the playoff and being in the top four, there are definitely more questions than answers.
All right. Tim, go ahead. Get him. I got something for him.
I just need to calm down. I need to remember, be kind right here. Sam. Just answer this question. On a neutral field, do you think Iowa, Cincinnati, or Oklahoma would be even close to Alabama right now if they played on a neutral field?
Tim Tebow, that's not the question that the College Football Selection Committee
asked. It's the four best teams. Yes, it is. It's the four best teams. And you're saying that right now, Iowa, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. Ohio State got blasted at home by Oregon. Cincinnati is a very talented team, but they haven't really beat anybody. Notre Dame ain't nobody. Notre Dame almost lost to Florida State. And then let's talk about Iowa. Iowa had to come from behind at home in a rowdy environment against a Penn State team that is not fantastic. So you look at their wins and say, yeah, picks. But it's also because quarterbacks that have played them have been absolute terrible. Right?
Okay.
Like, we got to be honest about those things. On a neutral field, there's a reason. Vegas usually gets it right. On a neutral field, Vegas would have Alabama beating the brakes off of those teams.
Get them.
But check me out.
Get them.
But check me out. Check me out. Check me out. No, I was with the College Football Selection Committee 2 weeks ago. We had a mock selection committee. We understand how they make those decisions.
Okay.
Yes, you are right. They pick the top four teams. I get that. But what they don't do is they don't say, well, on a neutral field, who would win and who would – no, you got to look at who's winning their division, who's winning their conference, who won the games that were in front of them.
And if A&M – can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing? I'm going to leave it to Tim because, Tim, get you, and you know more college football than me. Sam Acho, let me show you how shameful, how blasphemous your words are. Cincinnati, I'm just looking at this schedule. Miami of Ohio, Murray State, Indiana, Notre Dame, okay, is there, and Temple. Really? Have you lost your mind?
Let's just finish it at this, because they're literally telling me got to go and I don't want to go. But if you say the four best teams and you don't put Alabama in there, you know that you're either lying to yourself or it's really not about the four best teams. If you want to go schedules and everything, that's fine. But let's change college football and let's put cupcakes all over the place.
But then this is so good. And I don't want to cut this off, guys, but we got to go.
Why join it? Because you know you're going to have losses.
All right. We're going to revisit this next week. Sam Acho will be back.
He'll be back.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.